So here we are in the Magician Quarter in the West.
Yep. Move your TVs over to the west side of your room now.
Right. Magician energy is, it's a magician is an elder, is the witch doctor, the shaman, the wise man or woman, the priest or the priestess.
In today's society, it's more like the therapist or the facilitator or the minister.
Right. They play magician roles in our culture.
Right. Whoever's in charge of the container and what goes on inside.
Right. In mythology, it was the fairy godmother. Or in the Arthur legends, Merlin and Morgaine played the magician role.
The purpose of magician energy, of bringing magician energy into me, is for me to get guidance through detachment. Mm-hmm. That means that it's the magician who's kind of detached from what's going on, as
right.
well as being in charge of what's going on inside. That person's often standing outside of what's actually going on, staying detached, in order to generate options or to be able to see from a higher and different perspective.
Yeah, not necessarily higher perspective, but different or new perspective. The magician initiates us into a new or different perspective or an expanded perspective that we haven't had before.
So we look in that direction when we want guidance, when we want to know
right.
what could we do, what might we decide to do next. And we
right.
do that in shadow work as well.
Mm-hmm. As we said before, each one of the archetypes we see as having a masculine energy component and a feminine energy component. Once again, by that we don't mean men are like this and women are like this, but that each of us, man or woman, has that dual nature to that archetype within us.
Right. So masculine magician energy, in our view, has to do with facilitating or mixing the brew by a model. Or by a recipe. It's like cooking with a recipe. In fact, the four-directional model we're showing you is such a recipe. And as your magicians, our masculine magician side loves this four-directional model.
Right.
We think it'll handle anything.
We believe we can, anything you bring to us, we can
right.
plug into our model and achieve an expected outcome. Whereas our feminine magician energy is more likely to, we may start with the model, start with the recipe, and apply it to what comes to us. But our feminine magician will then sort of feel out or intuit what's happening in the actual present moment to see if we might actually need to change something. My feminine magician will taste the brew to see if it needs more salt or more pepper. What's really there in addition to what the recipe calls for?
So there's cooking by recipe and there's cooking by taste. Masculine and feminine magician
right.
energy works and best when you have both.
Yes, we believe my magician energy is most effective in the world when I have a good balance of masculine and feminine working together.
Right. So That's sort of one layer on the pyramid, the,
right.
the magician energy. Another overlay or another layer that fits right on top of that are the four elements, air, fire, earth, and water. And along in the West with magician energy, we put air energy.
Right.
Because air is sort of detached from everything and free and kind of invisible and it can
right.
move around.
It surrounds everything, but it's not quite of anything.
It's detached, and you'll often see in the language words that link air energy with magician kind of energy.
Right.
We'll talk about someone being up in the air, which means or up in their head, and or getting a bird's eye view of something. We'll talk about we'll envision magicians appearing out of thin air or disappearing into thin air, or we'll see them with a mist around them or a wind in their face.
Or, right. Or, witches ride on broomsticks, genies ride on magic carpets through the air, up high, where they can get a different perspective.
Yeah, in fact, someone with a lot of this kind of energy, we often call them an airhead.
Right.
Good name for this. Sharon Wegscheider, in her work with family systems, devised four roles in which children grow up in particularly in very dysfunctional families. And that's another overlay, another level on the pyramid. And in this quarter, we put the role of the clown or the mascot. That's the kid that's always sort of acting funny or trying to get the family to laugh about what's
going on. It's
always
a little bit detached, often not very emotionally involved, and yet is the one who's always making a joke about what's happening.
Right. He cracks them up. Mm-hmm. Up being the operative word there. And there's something about humor that gets us to take a different perspective, gets us to detach from what's going on and look at it in such a way that we could laugh.
Right. Native Americans call this coyote energy or trickster energy. It's the part that we all really have that can detach from a situation and see the different perspective.
Right. So, and now another layer in the pyramid has to do with the four most basic feelings or emotions that we think human beings feel. The four most basic emotions that little babies have: fear, anger, joy, and sadness. And in this direction, we don't say that a given feeling is in a direction, but rather that that feeling is a gateway into a given direction.
Right.
We'll tell you what we mean. The gateway into magician energy, as we see it, is the emotion of fear.
So once again, it's not that the magician is afraid. Rather, it's that when I can be in a place where I can fully feel my fear and be in it, it will transform, it will resolve, a doorway will open up so that I can access my full magician energy, my full magician power.
Because fear naturally detaches me from a situation.
Right.
If I'm afraid of something, I tend to stand back or maybe run back and get a different look at it.
Mm-hmm. In many cultures, the initiation into becoming the witch doctor or the priestess of the tribe is some kind of fearful initiation. I go out and sit on a mountaintop for 3 days and, you know, no food, no water, no weapon, and I face my fear, I walk through it. When I come back to the tribe, I am initiated into a new role, into the magician role.
So it's one of our beliefs that if you want to open more of your magician, you need to make friends with your fear, to be able to really feel your fear as it exists there.
Right.
Okay. So that gives you some idea of what we're talking about on the face of this side of the pyramid. Mm-hmm. Now we want to talk a little bit about what it looks like when this energy has been put in shadow for one of us. I mean, let's say we're in growing up. I'm at the Thanksgiving table with the family, and my magician comes online, and I start putting things together, and I realize that the reason Mom and Dad have been talking about inviting Grandma to Thanksgiving dinner over here is because they know she's going to die soon, and they're going to inherit a lot of money. Now, when my magician points that out to the whole family at Thanksgiving dinner with Grandma and Grandpa there and everything, the people in my family are going to encourage me to put that portion of my magician in shadow.
What are you talking about? That's not true at all. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. You're not really seeing what you're seeing, okay?
Right.
So my magician will, in that instance, go into shadow. And now we want to talk about what bagged magician energy looks like a little.
Right.
How you might tell if some of your magician has been repressed or split off or denied.
Right.
And there, as Mary Ellen said earlier, that will show up as looking like you have maybe too much magician energy or too little magician energy. If you have too little, you may find that you have no point of view on something. You just wind up saying, I don't know. And we say that side of the shadow is kind of dense. You know, it's just like, well, I don't know. I don't have any point of view on this. I don't have any option. And if you find yourself saying, I don't know a lot to things, it usually means, in our vernacular, that the magician is in shadow there.
Right. Another way of looking at too little magician energy is you can either be dense or you can be rigid. This is Archie Bunker, the person who's stuck in one point of view. It's the thing that Archie always said to Edith was, stifle yourself, Edith. There's too much air energy here. I don't want that. This is right. I'm in this one point of view. Now, his son-in-law, the meathead, was also stuck in one point of view. It doesn't matter what. You can be stuck in any perspective, in any point of view, but it's when you're only in one that what's operating there is too little magician energy.
Right, because in bigotry or dogmatism, there isn't the ability to get up above what you believe and see other points of view.
Right.
And that's what the magician is needed for.
Right.
Now, on the other side, where it looks like you have too much magician energy, that's what we call fragmented.
Uh-huh.
And that means that you're seeing so many points of view that you can't land on any. You can't decide which of them to use, which of them to take.
Right. What you'll say there is, I'm confused. I'm confused. I agree with everybody. The way this happens to me sometimes is I get so many there's so many things zooming around in my head, so many perspectives and points of view, I can barely speak. I just, you know, but then, well, and, oh, you know, I can't even land on one long enough to get it out of my mouth.
We'll say I'm still up in the air on this one.
Right, right.
That's the fragmented side. So there's dense or rigid, and then there's fragmented as being two ways that shadow magician energy shows up.
Right. So when we see that happening in a center work process, we have a tool that we bring out to work with someone who might have magician energy and shadow.
And the beauty of this tool and the tool in each quarter is that it will help bring up magician energy if there's too little and help bring it down if there's too much.
Right.
The tool in the magician quarter is a split, or different kinds of what we call splits.
Mm-hmm. It's a technique that we borrowed from Gestalt therapy and sort of expanded on.
Right. Same. It's also used in psychodrama.
Right.
It has to do with people playing roles for things.
Mm-hmm.
To get different parts of ourselves out into a drama where we can step back and look at them and get some different options.
Right.
Get some kind of a different perspective on that, and so we can get some guidance for mm-hmm. where we ought to go with that.
It's also, the tool also helps me be in my fear, helps me access the gateway to magician mm-hmm. energy, helps make it safe for me to feel my fear long enough for it to resolve and for a new perspective to show up.
Right. So if someone comes to shadow work and wants to do a piece of center work themselves and steps out onto the carpet, we ask them, well, what do you want to have happen here? And what they say is, well, I'm afraid of my power or something like that. We'll ask them to pick other people there from the container to step out and maybe have this person play their power and this person play their fear of their power, so they can step back and take a look at it and get some guidance. And we'll work with those things, having their fear and their power maybe talk to each other as if they were actual characters.
We'll do a role play, a little role play with the person either watching a role play themselves or actually playing one of the parts themselves and maybe moving around and doing different things.
Yep. We'll split it out. We'll make different points of view for them so they can get lots of different options,
right.
And that will help bring their magician energy online. The next step in the shadow work process actually is to begin looking for what kind of support those different parts might need.
Mm-hmm.
And that will lead us into what we call the sovereign quarter, the quarter with the king and queen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's generally where we'll head next, and so that's what we'll cover next on the next segment of the tape. We'll swing around a little bit into what we call, what we put in the north, which is sovereign energy.